Welcome to Booktopia On. This week's topic is bestsellers of 2018. I'm Sarah McDooling.
I'm Robert Irvin.
I'm Joe Bizzo.
And I'm Ben Hunter.
So let's do it, guys.
We're all very aware that the year's not out yet.
I mean, it's basically over.
We're already on the home stretch.
There's Christmas and then we're done.
Yeah. But in books, this is the time when all the books sell. So here at Booktopia,
I think we're quite premature.
Yeah. At the moment, we're selling, there's over 10,000 orders coming in every day at Booktopia. So that's going to totally change the results.
Yeah. So, this is a preliminary. We're sort of talking about the, we'll do another one of these later on the year, surely.
It's an exit poll. Right?
Later on in the year, between now and the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm calling it. 2018's done. All of the good books are out.
December orders.
They can get talked about in the best books of 2019. That's the next year, right?
You're just cutting those December people off. I mean, I think it's really unfair.
We can talk about them in a pre-order sense.
In the pre-order sense? No, we're talking about bestsellers here. We can't talk about all these pre-orders. We don't know whether they're going to do well or not. I mean, who would have predicted Tattooist of Auschwitz in, when was that? January? When was that?
Early this year.
It's gone on to sell something like 80,000 copies in Australia. But that's incredible. That's kind of Leanne Moriarty territory.
It came out of left field.
Yeah. You tell me which one is getting published in December that we're talking about in those ways.
Oh, right.
See, yeah. That's the kind of predictions you need to make.
New Silk Road.
What was that?
The New Silk Roads you'll be talking about.
You heard it here on the Australia podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Rob's pulled that one. That's his favourite.
I put the money down.
So if we're going to talk about up until now, okay, so it's just an exit poll?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the exit poll version of the bestsellers of 2018. Like, we already have, because, the way in which some publishers, and I won't name any of them, put a lot of their best stuff just before Christmas. And
that's all of them. You don't need to name them.
Okay, all of them.
We name you all.
Apart from academic publishers.
Oh, yeah, they put their best stuff in nothing. You bet. Some of the biggest stuff that's come out, like Leanne Moriarty's book, the numbers that was doing in the first couple of weeks were incredible. Matt Riley's book did incredible numbers in the first few weeks. They're going to do probably 100,000. Well, I think Leanne's already above 100,000, isn't she? I think she is. I think she's just gone completely nuts.
I would say yes.
Yeah, and so Matt Riley's probably going to go in that direction as well. So they're already big bestsellers. But we've got bestsellers that have been coming up slowly throughout the whole year and just accruing massive numbers throughout the year. And the main one for me, which stands out as one of those ones where authors will talk about it wistfully over the campfire for years to come, is The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Because that book surprised everyone and just keeps on selling and has gone worldwide. It has conquered the world, that book.
And it's only just beginning.
Mm. So we have kind of a sort of a split. We've got the Christmas bestsellers, and then we have the rest of the year bestsellers. And there have been some pretty nice fiction surprises, debuts that have done well.
Particularly in the HarperCollins sphere. Your workplace, John. we've had Trent Dalton. They've had The Woman in the Window on the international site. That's a year. It's just going to come to a second format. It's going to just keep on going and going and going.
Then the movie comes out and then keeps on going and going and going.
Yes. Did I say Trent Dalton?
You said Trent Dalton.
How good is Trent Dalton? Dale McTiernan. The Ruin, fantastic book.
Holly?
Yeah, Holly Bringland. The Lost Flowers of Al's Heart, fantastic book. We could forget that, Kate Warner and Lee Child exist.
So when you're talking about in the fiction area, Kate Warner's book came out a little bit earlier. Was that August or September?
September.
And that's still in the top bestsellers now as we go towards Christmas, and that's going to be a massive, massive number.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think that's one of the contenders for the top 10, don't you think, or top 5 even.
What else have we had?
Christian White?
Yes, Christian White smashed it. Scrublands, Chris Hammer smashed it. So Christian White's Nowhere Child and Chris Hammer's Scrublands. Really good for debuts.
Yeah.
We haven't spoken of Jane Harper and The Lost Man.
No, she's not a debut, but she is awesome.
Oh, I didn't think we were talking about debuts. But fantastic book.
And lots big numbers. Of sales. Yeah. Big numbers. On the nonfiction side of things, for us at least, one of the biggest books that we've got going this year is Simple, Ottolenghi's book Simple, which has for us has been our biggest.
It's our biggest.
No, a 2018 book in nonfiction,
Overall, everything, even Lee Sales?
Maybe in the numbers, Lee Sales will come up in the end of the year because Lee Sales is having a fantastic time.
That's,
not just with us, but with everyone.
Let's just pause and let's talk about Lee Sales for a bit.
We can also
Charles.
Talk about Lee Sales. She's
friends with Lee
Sales.
She's friends with everyone. What a fantastic thing.
What a great person for this to happen to.
Yes. And Any Ordinary Day is a book that people are now thrusting into the hands of friends and family and are buying. We can see it on our site. People aren't buying one. They're buying a few copies so they can pass it around. So
five at a time.
Which is great. And for an author, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah. And it will keep going. For years, I think that one will keep going. Not always at that high level, but it will stay ticking over because it's one that people find useful. It expresses things that people don't normally get expressed for them in that way, and it's helpful in how you deal with things.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it spawns a whole host of copycats.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a title that will do really well in the audio sphere and in and in libraries as well. It's one of those books that people actually get coming back to.
Actually, I think I saw it on one of the top lists of books requested at libraries.
Makes sense.
Totally.
What else we got? What about kids' books, kids' bestsellers?
Oh, goodness. Right now, David Williams is a kid killer. He's absolutely smashing it.
I don't think we should probably call him the kid killer.
No, it's fine because he takes his inspiration from Roald Dahl, and Roald Dahl doesn't mind a bit of skullduggery.
All right, kid killer it is.
Kid killer.
This is what kids coming back to those kind of stories because there's so many books are sanitized for kids, and everyone's tiptoeing around these kids, and kids are nasty bastards. You know, they like their twits, and they like their George's Marvelous Medicine, which he makes concoctions of killer. Poisons to do away with people. So, you know, I think David Williams is tapping into that. I don't think he's probably as bad in the sense of good.
Not quite
or
as
evil or he's going towards that level.
I think the only real word for it is Roald Dahlish, right?
Yeah, the Roald Dahlish. Yeah,
I like that.
Because it's so wonderful that they're still allowed to be sold. Yeah. that's the one good thing that's still going on is that someone hasn't come out and said he should not be sold.
I think for children's books, the year is going to be won by Jessica Townsend with Wonder Smith. Yeah. The Form Opt Memoir is huge.
Yeah, amazing book, super fun, charming series, beautiful,
and
it's got
adults and kids flocking to it at the same time.
Which
gives you the perfect kind of Harry Potter vibes.
Total Harry Potter appeal.
But the biggest one would be Andy Griffiths and Terry, wouldn't it? Is that the biggest kids book this year?
For us, I feel like it's going to be Wonder Smith.
Yeah.
But perhaps for the market, it's going to be Andy and Terry. They are huge. They're the show's biggest.
Yeah, they dominate. And they're still selling. We're still selling. Like, it came out earlier in the year, and we just keep selling things. Mm. And we sell the old ones. Like, new kids are coming into it. So
there's always new kids.
There's always, they're making them. They're manufacturing kids all the time for the kids' market. It's brilliant.
Love it. And Pig the Grub is probably my favourite Pig the Pug book yet, and it had a huge year with us. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I just love Pig the Grub. I just love the title as well. He's so revolting.
It's foul, it's revolting, Pig needs a bath, and then mayhem ensues. It's a great book.
He doesn't want a bath. It's the whole thing.
Wants, needs.
And similarly from Aaron Blavey, he's also in that stratosphere of bestsellers with the bad guys.
Up and up and up.
That episode 8, Superbad, is absolutely huge, and then it's just going and going and going, and it's synced up internationally now, so he is an international New York Times best-selling author.
Wow. It's going to be so interesting when all of the films come out. seeing like someone who already seems like they couldn't be more popular will inevitably become more popular.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting seeing that come to life.
Yeah.
The other one we forgot, we jumped over one of our own bestsellers, and he's number one right now, is Richard Glover.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We didn't really, we sort of skimmed. We should probably return to non-fiction.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Land Before Avocado is number one in Booktopia right now. And the great thing about it was when we, because we saw the book, we thought, saw what it was about, we went, this is going to do well, it's got Richard, it's about the difference between us and life in the 60s, 70s and 80s, and it's a lesson for millennials, it's going to be funny, it's going to have information. So we thought this was going to be fine, we bought a big pile. Richard turns up and goes, what the hell have you done? Why are you buying so many books? This isn't crazy. We're not going to sell this many in Australia. He's a very modest man.
We definitely sold them.
How many books was in that pile?
It was 800, and we sold them
within more than 3,500.
Yeah, yeah, so like it's just, and it was just marvellous, absolutely marvellous to be able to, because I don't think he was, like he thought, this is a very strange subject to be sort of talking about, you know. But he's just, it's just
he's
gone.
He's tapped into something.
Yeah, he's tapped into something.
But that's why, how the book came out of people's overwhelming response to his talkback topics around these generational misunderstandings.
Yeah.
So I'm totally not surprised that it's gone so well. I think it's going to keep going because people are going to, this is an argument that people keep having. I certainly keep having it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I want it to be a show. I want it to be an ABC documentary show.
Where the footage is incredible.
Yeah, Jan Fran and Richard Glover. So Jan Fran represented the millennials and Richard Glover up against each other and going back in time. And, yeah, I think it's got really good legs on that one. I think there needs to be another one too. I think he needs to keep going.
Totally. There's so many topics that he can cover that he hasn't covered in this book because he just... How thick is he going to make it? It's huge.
He's big already. He'll struggle to come up with such a perfect title, though, and cover.
Yeah, it's great.
Who doesn't feel like the avocado lies at the centre of this generation gap? Who doesn't feel passionately about the avocado and avocado toast?
Another big one for us is when we go in the cooking section, because we did... we've done so well with Simple. Going the other end of the scale, Modern Baking by Donna Hay has been a biggie for us here. Because Shamorne wasn't in the country when the book came out, it was a bit quieter at the beginning. And now it's starting to pick up as we head towards Christmas, and Shamorne's probably going to end up there in the top list as well with his memoir.
Well, he can't stay out of the headlines.
Yeah, and you know, his interview with Lee Sales got things rolling, but then he's gone around and met every single bookseller in Australia.
Charming them all.
Like, he charmed you guys.
Yeah,
you guys
definitely.
You guys were doing dances with the guy.
It was a great day. It was a great musical day.
The other one, which you cannot forget, is Mutiny on the Bounty, because not only is it my ancestors in there, but Peter Fitzsimmons will come knocking on the door and ask, why don't we talk about him? And so we are now talking about you, Peter.
Yes.
And this is a big, big book, perfect for Christmas giving as a gift. Anyone who liked Burke and Wills, anyone who liked Ned Kelly, this is the kind of the line, not the war stuff. This is the epic tale of survival, of grit, of ingenuity, and an annoying guy called William Purcell is thrown in for free.
And if you're listening to this, you know, as we post it, we may even still have signed copies left. I don't know. Yeah. Check the website. Yeah. They could be gone.
The signed copies are going very fast. Yeah. As I said, there are over 10,000 orders a day.
It's only going to get busier too. Like, we're running into that last period of big Christmas sales, and you know, things are just going to get crazier around here.
The thing with the Mutiny on the Bounty is that I've read over a dozen books on the Bounty. There's so much in this book that I've never come across before, never seen before. He's found all sorts of stuff. There's a whole bunch of side and back stories there. So if you're into this story and you think, oh, I already know about the Bounty, I already know about this, how much more can there be? There's heaps more.
So you don't know at all.
Yeah, it's very surprising.
Well, I mean, there's also this guy, Scott Pate.
Oh, but what about Michelle Obama?
Okay, I'm hyped. Where are we going to go straight?
Yeah. She's just gone from, hey, I think there's a book coming too. Oh, my God, she's the top seller in the world.
Michelle Obama's book is going Great.
Yeah, they're printing and reprinting as we go, and the books are just coming in and going straight out the door again. So whatever we order is never enough, and we just have to keep trying to catch up.
Yeah, the book never comes to rest in our
hands. No, it just flies through. Straight through. So if you're seeing it's out of stock, it's not really out of stock for very long. It's just jump in there, order it. We'll get more stock coming in, but it's just racing through our warehouse. It's probably going to be most gifted biography this Christmas.
Yeah, I think
people
so.
Are really getting into this book and its message, and that it's the complete and utter opposite of what is going on now in American politics. It's the good side.
Yeah, it's about care and it's about respect and it's about a whole bunch of things we haven't seen
all
in the White House for a
while.
All
these people are so hungry for.
And did you see the image that was going around Twitter the other day where it showed Trump's Art of the Deal sold the same amount.
Was 1 million in, was it 32 years?
Yeah, in 32 years.
Michelle Obama sold 1.1 million in 1 week.
No, for all those
that
who love Trump out there, we're
so
very
happy.
And that's a paperback by Trump against the hardcover.
And it's how many years against a week?
32
years. 32 years. Wow.
Oh, so much
amazing.
There are lots of serious and important books that have sold a lot.
I want to mention one. Boys Will Be Boys by Clementine Ford.
How have we not already spoken about this? Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
No, we're giving this to everyone, this book. This book is the book for everyone. Everyone needs to have this discussion. Every Christmas lunch has to be broken up in heated discussions around this book. That's my new proclamation.
Yeah, and also enlightened discussions, because it doesn't all have to be about being angry. That's what I think this book is so good at doing. There's a lot of anger there, because and there should be, but there's also just so much thought and kind of worry and love. Like there's the thing in the book. It's like you should be scared. We should be scared. But read this book and you won't feel, I think, as ill-equipped to examine these issues as you would be if you hadn't read it.
You pulled me up the other day because I tweeted out that every man should read it. You're saying no, but also women have to read this book too.
Everyone should read it. Yeah,
because it is one of those ones where as a man you read it, you feel like
I'm the spotlight.
you feel in the spotlight, but you also become acutely aware of the things that you've done. And the behaviours that you've just taken as normal or been taught to be as normal, you start to examine them and you start to question why you've done that and why you thought that was okay to do. And I think everyone will have different kind of things that they pick up in this book. But with this world, we've got so many different generations of people living, especially around Christmas, all in the one place. It is tough because people have such fixed notions about the way the world works and how it's meant to be and all that sort of stuff. So I think having this book, which is a very easy book to read, and it's funny.
It is. She's such an entertaining person. She's got so many great pop culture references. You will find yourself laughing, but you will also, be disturbed at times because it's a disturbing topic, but also just enlightened because it's seeing things from an angle that you may not have previously dwelt on that much. And we are worried about our young girls, and we should be, but we should also worry about our young boys because they're just as programmed by the patriarchy as anyone else.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's also Yuval Noah Harari's book, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century, which is really right on the money, just like Clementine Ford. It's right on the time. And it's about 21 major issues that we're facing and what we should do about them. He does. It's not necessarily prescriptive. He comes up with various suggestions of what you could do, what the world could do. So what are we going to do about robots taking over and taking away our jobs? What are we going to do with ourselves? What's our society going to do? Is
democracy even needed anymore? Maybe it doesn't work anymore.
Well, that's right. So he starts with the idea that liberalist democracy has had its time. Is it over? Is it changing? Is it mutating? Is there something else that's going
to come?
Dictatorship's
the way to go.
There's various issues. Yeah. So he looks at it and goes, well, you could try it this way, you could try it that way. These are the pros and cons. He goes through a range of different things, genetics, big data, all sorts of environmental issues. It's just a snapshot of holy hell, what's on the horizon right this minute, and what should we do? Should we step out of the way of the truck, or should we do something totally different, like jump over the truck or jump into the truck? It's
Is
really
the truck even a danger to us?
That's right.
I find this book and all of his books to be so just great because they crack your head open like an egg and then give you so much to talk about they really do. You're like, oh, well, I know nothing, I guess, and now I'm scared of everything. And also, you will be equipped for small talk for the rest of your life. You can walk into any party and be like, did you know? And, like, it's great.
Yeah.
All those books, I mean, this has been, it's been a few years in between all these books, but they're all on our bestsellers. Like, they're just,
going.
So he's really, he's tapped in. And it's part of that, like, we've all seen it this year, the kind of the movement from finding answers on the internet where there are just too many answers to the one question, you just want to know the truth, to people moving towards books where you've got an authority writing about it in a considered way using references that you can check. It's a movement towards books and getting information from books this year.
From a concentrated source.
Yeah.
Which doesn't have a hyperlink in it, which will lead you off to someone else saying almost the exact opposite thing.
And what's really interesting about Noah Harari is that he, being an historian, is he pulls out examples of things that have been tried in the past. He goes, oh, well, we could do this as a society. Actually, in medieval times, they did this in France. And you go, oh, yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. He just takes you down this winding path. The way that guy's mind works is fascinating. And, like, yeah, you just get led through these different theories and different little pockets of history and, like, this broad, broad, like, high-level view on humanity that just fascinates me endlessly.
Talk about John.
John can't sit still right now. He's getting excited. There's one author that we need to talk about who is most certainly a bestseller. And there's been a while between drinks with this guy. His name is Marcus Zusak.
Oh, my gosh,
A book called The Book Thief that did very well. And this hasn't done as well as The Book Thief yet, but it's got a long way to go. It's brilliant. It is.
Well, The Bridge of Clay is it's one of those big books that will take time because people are going to read this over the holidays. They've got this. It's a big book. So if you got given it when it came out or if you're thinking about getting it, you will probably want a bit of holiday to sort of go into it and do it in big, nice, big chunks of reading.
Just holding it in your hand is
I think we're going to hear even more about this as the year progresses and as we go into the new year because people will have had the chance to really give it a go. And I recommend it to everyone because it is a big Australian epic it's a big family, five brothers, but there also is a backstory in there. There's Margaret's coming to Australia. There's the aspirations. There's just
there's different romances you read, and they're both beautiful.
Yeah, and we're talking about the brain of Noah, but this guy's brain is amazing too. I mean, the way he puts words together
he writes astonishingly beautifully. Mm. Astonishingly and beautifully, I'll say, just to use English correctly.
But he can put two words you've never put together.
He does that. That's what I was going to say. His way. The thing I love about his writing is that he just like gets these two words that have no business being anywhere near each other, puts them next to each other, and you know exactly what he means because it hits some bell in your head and you're like, oh, yeah. You feel like you're every step of the way there with him, but, you know, until
it's
that
like
moment.
It's like you're being spoken to for the first time.
Yeah. It's just gorgeous. And, you know, the characters in this book will creep up on you and then you'll be just ready to die for them by the end of it. It's big, it's sprawling, it's epic, it's all those words that you hear.
While we're drooling over iconic Australian fiction, we got a gold nugget at the top of the year in the form of Tim Winton.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my goodness, it's probably the biggest sellers all year.
Yeah.
What month was that?
It came in March. It was the big Easter read.
Oh, amazing. How did I miss that? Sherwood's Hut. Now that is a book. That was such a a brutal, burning book, and it polarized a few people because, the main character is sort of told in his voice, and the voice is really rough, and his viewpoint in life is really tough.
Mm. And this book is narrow in a really good sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes deep on this guy.
And it's not a very long book, but we all know how well Tim writes about the environment, the place that the books are set. So whether it be the ocean and with the surfers, or like this one in the desert, you're there. Like it's so hot. It's such a hot place, and dry and uncomfortable and salty. And
inescapable.
Yeah, inescapable. Everywhere you look, there's just more of it.
It's that claustrophobia of you are in this place, but you can't get out, even though it's wide open.
Yeah, you just fire through this book when you're reading it. And when I came out the other end, I had this great urge to stand in the shower and drink a beer.
Great. What book. An amazing endorsement.
That's it. So we should have that on our banners.
I could do that. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Just going to roll around in the ocean.
Before we wrap up, because I think we're kind of hitting our time, but the seat that Sarah is sitting in right now was occupied by Matthew Riley just this very morning.
What a segue, John.
And Matt Riley's book on release was one of the biggest first week sales this year, wasn't it? It was just absolutely enormous.
Book 5 of the Jack West Junior series.
Yeah, and the thing is that most of those people are already finished. Like, people read his books, like, it's completely different to Marcus, where you sort of you're rolling around.
That's right.
For days with this thing,
just glorying sentences. Yeah.
With Matt, you read like it's like a few hours later you're done, and you're just going at the end of it. Like that's his reading. So imagine being Matt writing for 2 years, and then knowing that most of your fans are going to read it within 5 or 6 hours.
I think it would be great because think of the number of those fans.
Yeah, oh yeah. When you're Matt, counting the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he writes in much. Quickly does a book a year, but Lake Child, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
absolutely massive. And we got the
they have both got that same sort of magic in their writing that they're like go-to recs for people who say it's foolishly in my presence that they don't like to read.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, do you think that's true? Maybe you should try one of these guys. And they always, they convert.
Yeah.
They convert people who, they're so entertaining that even if you, there's few things in this world harder than convincing someone that they're wrong about something that they don't like. Like, it's hard. So if you can do it, then you've got something a bit magic.
Yeah, Matt's been converting non-readers for years.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about those two writers you just mentioned is how differently they write.
Totally different.
We talked to Matt, and he's planned everything out, and and then we talked to Lee, and he has no idea what's coming up. Like, he's a pantser. He doesn't plan his books. My brain to work out how he can do that, but he does.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, and so those two guys, so different approach, but each get gobbled down. Like each
those bank, books are best devoured whole. They're like those. Isn't there that dish that's a bird that you have to just swallow entirely whole? This was a really good analogy in my head, but I don't have any of the supporting data to like make it work.
Well.
I'll find it after the podcast where it matters not at all. I'm sure.
Penguin.
The point is, you read them in one sitting.
One sitting,
and you don't even really have much choice about it.
No,
you just have to.
We are out of time, but I'm going to rattle off some names right now, and
you go.
You're going to hit your head against the wall because you're going to want to talk about them. Michael Robotham.
Oh, how did we not talk about
them? Fiona McIntosh. Sean Tan.
Oh.
Kate Atkinson. Osher Gunsberg, his biography is huge. Ian Rankin.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about Warlight?
We didn't talk about Sally Rooney.
Oh, no, we didn't talk about
Sally Rooney. We didn't talk about Michael Andrade. We didn't talk about Di Morrissey. We didn't talk about Anne Summers. Murakami.
There is nothing stopping us from having a bestsellers of 2018 part 2, and we might have to.
Well, this would be a 4-hour podcast.
McKinnon's new cookbook. Johan Hari, Lost Connections. Huge. That's huge.
An amazing book. Still going.
Some guy called George R.R. Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Jodi Picoult.
There's been a lot. Yes, this has Sarah, been a very amazing good year. Year.
Very good year.
Robert Galbraith, aka J.K. Rowling.
Actually,
everything by Candace Fox.
Yeah.
Separately or with James Madison.
Yeah. Just what a great crop.
Oh my gosh, Sarah Bailey had a book this year.
Yeah.
There's really no end to this.
Hmm.
But we have to go home at some point.
I want to cap this off by saying, if you're interested in out of all of this stuff that we wade through, what we as in our personal reading lives are interested in, go to our website. We have this fantastic thing we've set up called A Year of Good Reading. It's not a bestseller list. It is not a best books of the year. It's not a literary prize. It is our personal reading experiences, books that we've fallen in love with, books that have surprised us, books that have taken us places. It is very varied, it's very interesting, and you get a little snippet of each of us as human beings, and I love it.
And I'm considering it a work in progress as well, because we'll be updating this, right, as we go along. There's what year? We haven't named the year, it's just a year. From now until
it's a
year
moving,
from
it's
now.
A moving year.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, so, I should end this, right? Because I started it.
You started it. You can end it.
I've forgotten how to do that. Thank you all for listening.
Cool.
And join us at 11 a.m. on Wednesday for the next Booktopia On.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.